That's right. The Drive is live. And if you are on YouTube and Twitch, you can see us all, including Tyler Milner, in the building, as well as you heard there, Clint Sterner. And the way you participate in this puppy, you can hit the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer.
That's right, 713-572-4610. You could be a part of this bad boy. Again, today, this is the final day. Is that correct, Tyler? The final day in the 5 o'clock
hour? Yes, sir.
Final day in the 5 o'clock hour. Make sure you're listening. Again, that's in the 5 o'clock hour, as today will be your chance. Just like our guy Jesse from yesterday, today can be your chance to win a pair of VIP tickets to Saturday's round of this year's Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands Country Club. It's covered seating in the Champions Club and at the 18th Green with food and drinks included. So you don't want to miss those VIP tickets. And coming up at 3 o'clock, we're going to talk to somebody. You just never know what he's going to say, which makes for really, really entertaining radio, I believe. And we've talked to him before, our guy John Daly, who, with John Daly, would he be one of the ones that would roll with you?
No, he would pull up a lawn chair and have some drinks and watch you get your head ripped off. But he would not get involved, no, sir.
Even 100% healthy?
No, it don't matter. 21.
Yeah, there with a couple.
It don't matter if he's 21. He had his priorities, and one of them I don't believe was fighting,
really.
especially you know, getting in scuffles that you know you can't win.
Yeah, he'd be sitting there with a lawn chair, dart, and a couple of drinks.
That's it. That's it. Oh yeah, that's about right.
You're gonna watch. Ooh, but we'll talk to him coming up at 3 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. But again, 5 o'clock hour, be listening for your chance to win those VIP tickets to Saturday's round at the Insperity Invitational. It's at the Woodlands Country Club. Be like Jesse, get a chance to get a dub. All right, guys, let's look into this. I believe this is what Tyler typed into the rundown. What a punch in the nutsack for H-Town via the Rockets.
That's just kind of what came to my head, man. It's what it felt like.
What did you say? You said this was the first time what?
First time, I guess, since 2019, 2020, really, that a Rockets game came to its end, and I was left in that. Y'all probably see me in this state a time or two with the Astros, where I'm just sitting in silent anger in my living room.
Did you
just
stay away from the whiskey?
No. I had a couple glasses, for sure. But yeah, just like a blank stare at the TV as that buzzer sounded. Just silent anger. It had been a minute.
It's a tough one, right? I feel bad for guys like Seth and Sean, who I'm wondering if they went ahead and stayed up for that thing.
Pendergast and pain.
And of course, that thing stayed tight, so you had to stay up with it the whole way. And you know this was a late one. This thing started after 9 o'clock, and then bam, you're up. And it's 12 o'clock, and you didn't stay up here, and you had to watch that thing. It was a tough L, and I think there's a lot of things for us to get into. But can I start here? I just want to say, Ime Udoka, I don't know whose decision this was. I just want to say I really despise the decision on how they ran that final play to Alfred Shingun.
Oh, my goodness.
I have no problem with it, who it went to. And, in fact, I think that's who it should have gone to. I'll be honest, I got nervous as hell because I'm watching the game, and it looked like Shingun was standing on the sideline for a second there, the way they were looking, but he was just standing on the court near the sideline. I was going to say, I know. He was standing next to Jalen. I said, I know Jalen ain't playing. But damn it, I know Shingun better be in on this last, but he's in. I got no problem. I think it should have gone to him. But you know Draymond's guarding him. And they go to the top of the key with him and not in the post. I could see it, Clint. It was, this is ending in a jump shot. This is ending because he's not going to go around Draymond. And this is going to end with a contested jump shot from Shingun, and that's not, to me, his strength. He was killing them in the post, especially on that right side. He was killing them in the post. I just really hated, and I just didn't think they put him in the best position to get like the best shot he could get off at the top of the key with Draymond guard.
Yeah, look, I loved going to Shingun as well. I mean, now look, let's be honest. I don't love that as the only option with zero movement around him when you know he's going to be up against what did Draymond get this year? Was he third in voting in defensive player of the year?
Yep.
So look, I mean, I like Shingun, but I don't necessarily love that matchup and the fact that the way they rolled that thing out was give it to him at the top of the key. Everybody else get the hell out of the way. And then you just go one on one with a top three defender. I don't care what you think about, Draymond, a top three defender in the league. That's advantage Golden State. That's advantage Draymond Green, no matter what kind of night.
Especially facing up like that. If he was on his back in the post, I think that's more advantage Shingun.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I mean, look, he did a lot with his backing down the other guys.
The little guys came up there. Yeah, he was backing them.
So I don't dislike it if it's.
You're right. They didn't even do anything to create a switch.
Nothing.
They didn't do anything to try to force a switch to force some other action.
Nothing. And when you're watching on the other end of the floor, Golden State, the best in the game over the last handful of years of movement without the ball and getting guys open looks, and it seems like there's a design play for, and you know that guy because he's running and cutting and all over the place, and at the end of the day, he ends up getting the ball, kind of like somehow Steph Curry getting the ball. Two seconds on the shot clock on an inbounds play, he gets the ball. Shingun jumps by him on a pump fake, and he knocks down a three. 2 seconds on the damn shot clock. And I'm just like, how in the hell did that guy get the ball, number one?
That wasn't even a great pump fake.
No, but that's the kind of bonehead stuff down the stretch that gets the Rockets beat. I'm not just taking a shot at Shingun, but like that, the foul by Dylan Brooks, Jimmy behind the 3-point line.
There was Jabari
throws the ball away. Where I mean, like throws a ball at a damn I think it was Dylan Brooks. He's got a 10-foot catch window, and you somehow throw a pass out back towards the top that he can't touch. He doesn't even touch.
Backcourt violation.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like it's not just one thing. But there just seems to be, whether it's M.A. Udoka or it's Bari or it's Shingun or it's Dylan Brooks, it just seems like they all just come in at the end of the game when the stage is the biggest and the lights are the brightest, and you got to have it. It's like 3, 4, 5 possessions in a row where you're just like, when you got Jimmy Butler and Steph on the other side, you do that 3, 4, 5 possessions in a row, they're going to swing the game 7-8 points. Yeah. It's over.
Text line coming in. Was he trying to post up those Shingun on the last play? Not at the top of the key. They gave him the ball at the top of the key. He caught it face. He did like a spin move into a jumper. What I'm saying is where he was having a lot of success, yes, he had some success when little guys switched out on him and he bullied them to the lane from the top. But mostly he was over there on the right block, catching the ball, backing guys down, and he was – for a second there in the second half, either going to the line or making baskets. And to me, that, you know that Draymond is guarding him. They know where you want to go, and Draymond knows where you want to go.
Yeah.
You put him at the top of the key to where you looked at it, and I said, this is going to end in a jump shot. He's not going to drive past Draymond. And then you can't back him down from the top of the key.
Draymond's not going to let you do that.
Yeah, like from there, but then you turn around and he's shooting, you know, that shot. He can make that shot, but that's not the best situation. Listen, a lot happened in that game. I was just like, man, to finish, like that's where you ended up going.
The whole finish, when you say finish, I mean, it's the whole last 2 to 3 minutes
for me. That seems to be the theme.
That's the part you're talking about, Tyler, where you're just sitting there angry and in frustration and just fuming on your couch by your damn self. It's a helpless spot to be in as a fan, but it's like it's damn near every game. It's like we can't even get to a point, and this is, I think, probably the most frustrating part for me as a Rockets fan, is I would like to sit down and see the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors exchange blows in the 2 minute in the last 2 minutes, and whoever gets it last wins, right? But instead, it is the Rockets hanging on for dear life. Now, last night was obviously ended up a little bit closer, but it's the Rockets shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over again. Ron, I can't help but think anything. I mean, this stage is just too bright for this team. It's too big, too bright.
That's what I was going to say. Is this series, like what it boils down to is this series just that the Rockets and the Warriors, one team has been there, done that, and the other team is getting their first taste of the playoffs. Is it because the end of games, you said this is the final last 2 or 3 minutes. This is a story that not only we've seen during the regular season, but in particular in this series. Game one, a 4-point game with 5 minutes left. The Rockets lose by 10. Game three, a 1-point game with 4.5 to go. They lose by 11. Last night, they got a 1-point lead at the 5-minute mark. Even tighter, even closer the last 2 or 3 minutes. And they end up losing the game. Like it does seem like when they get down to those junctures of the game that are important, you hate to say it, feels like experience jumps up. One team's turning it over. Yeah. One team's not. One team's getting good shots. One team isn't. And that's what it almost seems like it's coming down to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and when I say stage is too big, lights are too bright, I mean for everybody. It's obvious with Jalen Green.
I would say that, coach, too.
It's absolutely. And again, the reason behind it, I think, is different. To your point of one team's been there, one team hadn't, I think that appears to be the problem with Jalen Green. I got an apology to dole out, by the way, and before we get out of here today. But, like, Jalen Green is clearly the lights are too bright, stage is too big, court's too big, knees are weak, can't get his feet underneath it, whatever it is. It's blatantly obvious. I mean, that damn turnover early in the first, I mean, Ime Udoka tried to give it to him, tried to say, hey, man, here it is, man, it's your show. And he just couldn't handle the pressure. But also, like to your point, if you look at Ime Udoka, like I don't know that Ime Udoka knows what he wants to do late. Now, that may be because you don't have the guys, you don't have the killer, you don't have the finisher, whatever. But, like, there's...
Red was trying.
But there's been several moments where you go, that's the last-ditch effort? That's what we got? I don't know. It's interesting, man. I think it's the whole team right now, with the exception of Fred. Fred VanVleet is I mean, whether he's shooting it well or not, he is staring it in the eye, and he's fighting.
He tried to keep him rolling. And Shingun, him and Fred.
Shingun, yes.
Shout-out to Amen Thompson. He played... his best game of the series, looked a lot more aggressive, and just said, hell, I'm driving it with authority and, you know, driving it hard to the paint. And he did some things there as well. But yeah, man, it was a tough one. I know for you, if you didn't have it already after last night's game, I know for you, it started to paint a clear picture for the future of the Rockets. I know a lot of people have had their thoughts on how they should move forward with this young group, and that this playoff run, however long it was going to tell a lot of it. I know for you've seemed to arrive at what they need to do.
Well, yeah, look, I guess we can always play, and I see a lot of this on social media, we can always play the whole, man, it's their first playoffs, it's man, they're young, man, at some point, rubber meets the road, and your organization has to make a decision. We are going to be, after this playoff here, which looks like it's going to end pretty quick, after this run, good season, Ime Udoka is going to be heading into year three with the Rockets. But what do? We wait till Ime Udoka's fifth year before we decide that, hey, man, this group is who you want to really try to make a run with, or do you want to make a change? I think outside of winning a championship, because to me that'd be the only thing that would trump this. You'd like to have a good run in the playoffs, win a couple games, maybe feel better about your guys. But at the end of the day, the number one priority is when these playoffs are over, when the 2025 season is over, the organization needs a clear vision, a clear path forward. And I think right now, given what we've seen, I think it's clear that waiting on this group, as they are built right now, waiting on this group to be able to go in the playoffs and compete in the best that the NBA has to offer, and against the best that the NBA has to offer, I don't see how you can move forward without making major changes. And I think it's been very, very clear in the playoffs for the Rockets.
Yeah, not good enough.
Text line coming in, bring on Kevin Durant. Text line coming in, Rockets in 7, Ron, mark it. Okay. You got to win this first one, one at a time.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
And I'll be honest with you, right now, listen, it's in their head. A lot of things in their head. If they win, they need to get a comfortable lead. so this thing doesn't come down to the last couple of minutes. Because it comes down to the last couple of minutes, it feels like they're looking around like, all right, what's going to happen? Who's going to, like, what's going to happen to mess up? What's going to happen? Because you talked about, they had about two possessions in a row. One of them was just the backcourt violation that fired. They had two in a row that just tough turnovers. And then you see them execute down.